All right, welcome back, everybody, for another team preview here for the 2024 season. I am your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and I am joined by Koopa. Koopa, we're going to talk about the Raiders on this one. So looking at the Vegas Raiders, Coach Antonio Pierce rightfully got that job. Offensive coordinator, they brought in Luke Getsy, who was the Bears offensive coordinator there for a time last year before he got fired. Some of the key players who left them this year. So obviously Jimmy Garoppolo moved on to the Rams. Josh Jacobs is gone. Hunter Renfrow is gone. And they also lost one of their starting offensive tackles and Greg Van Rooten, a guard as well last year. So missing some key pieces here, but they also gained some. Targets, vacated air yards that are missing, 133 targets, 341 air yards. I think that might have been a typo on their part. Or my part, one or the other. Quarterbacks, though, go ahead and start with the quarterbacks on this one, Koopa.
Yeah, so I would say their starting quarterback is probably Aiden O'Connell. There's a bunch of people that seem to think it's going to be Gardner Minshew or that it's much closer as like a toss-up, but I think that with the fact that Aiden O'Connell finished off the year for them, Antonio Pierce is the coach that finished off the year for them, and it was basically one of those. The team liked him so much, they basically forced the ownership to say, yeah, we'll re-sign him as our permanent head coach. I think that it's going to be a similar situation with Aiden O'Connell to start the season. I think he's just kind of going to come in as the starter regardless, and that Minshew is going to be the backup. And if this team looks like it's going to miss the playoffs, then okay, now we might see some Gardner Minshew. But for fantasy purposes, they don't really see that. They see Minshew as quarterback 34, Aiden O'Connell as quarterback 36. I think it's just that a lot of people don't have faith in Aiden O'Connell. Eric, I know that you are a big Aiden O'Connell fan. If we see him come out and he does well, like he could be a solid quarterback for the NFL. But for fantasy purposes, I don't necessarily see him having quite that ceiling that we're expecting.
Yeah, I think ultimately they're both going to start this year at some point. Like, I just think that's what's going to happen here. They gave Minshew a decent deal, but it was backup money deal. It wasn't like, you know, we're giving you starter level money. I think it is going to be a competition all training camp and all through the off season between O'Connell and Minshew. I would say O'Connell, because he has been with the team. He knows the offense, knows the players. I think he has the leg up at the moment, but I think it's, you know, 51-49 right now. It's like a sliver that he has a slight advantage. I think O'Connell is probably the better player. I like his accuracy, the way he throws the ball, can make every throw on the field there. Minshew, I mean, he proved last year he can take a team close to the playoffs, but it wasn't like he was overwhelmingly like super good. Like he didn't like lead that team to a bunch of victories on his own or anything like that. So it's literally a toss up here. I'm with you. I'm going to lean O'Connell right now. That's how I drafted him any of my startup drafts right now, so we'll see how that goes. They kept three on the initial 53-man roster last year, so I'm probably thinking O'Connell, Minshew, and I think it's going to be a legit battle between Anthony Brown and Carter Bradley, the UDFA that got out of South Alabama, and Gus Bradley's kid, the defensive coordinator. So I think there is a spot there for Carter Bradley to maybe be the third. Running backs we'll move on to now. So obviously Zamir White is there. Alexander Mattison, they brought in. His PFF grade last year was 61.8, which was 53rd of 59 running backs. So his efficiency last year was complete dog shit. So I'm not really big on Alexander Mattison this year. I think he has a role, but I'm not expecting him to like be Minnesota Vikings Mattison from a couple years ago. Amir Abdullah is still here. Dylan Lobb, they brought in the sixth round this year. Britton Brown is still there, and Sincere McCormick. They kept four running backs plus a fullback last year on the initial 53. I think this year it's probably going to be four running backs again. I could see White, Madison, Amir Abdullah, and Dylan Lobb are the ones that they end up keeping. So let's take a look at Dylan Lobb really quick. Overall, Lobb might not be a full-time running back or receiver in the NFL, but he has the multi-dimensional skill set that overlaps both positions and offers values on special teams. He is the Danny Woodhead comparison is a little on the nose, but it's best and encapsulates Lobb's versatile talent. 81.6 PFF grade last year, 161 carries, 745 yards, 9 touchdowns. He had 68 catches, 88 targets, 708 yards. He had a 75.5 grade in a zone, 76.9 in a gap scheme. 413 yards after contact, which were 173rd in the country, and he had 24 missed tackles forced. I really do like Dylan Lobb. He's probably going to be that versatile kind of chess piece. He can play some wide receiver too. He's one of, like they said, Danny Wood has a good comparison. You can split him out wide, and he can run wide receiver routes. So he's a really, really interesting PPR type player this year. So interested to see what he can do, especially like in the preseason and stuff. What do you got on the Raiders running backs?
Yeah, I'm excited for Lobb too. So Zamir White is obviously going to be the number one running back here. He's projected to be running back 21 on the year. I think that is kind of more of it's an opportunity projection as opposed to necessarily skill. I don't think he's probably the 21st best running back in the NFL, but I think he just happens to have Alexander Mattison and Amir Abdullah and Lobb as his three backups, and neither of those three guys I think are going to push him for carries. I mean, we saw Madison's efficiency was just horrendous last year. Abdullah has never been somebody threatening. I mean, at any time that Josh Jacobs was down for injury, you never saw Amir Abdullah come in and really take any of the carries that he had vacated. And Lobb is just he's not the kind of running back that's going to get a bunch of carries. He seems to me like somebody that is way more likely to, his role will be, his end of game stat line is 4 rushes for 15 yards and 6 targets and 4 receptions for 40 and a touchdown. Like that would be a good game out of Lobb. And so Zamir White, just as a result, like somebody has to eat all of those rushing carries, and so it's going to end up being Zamir White. I'm with you in that I think the four guys are White, Madison, Abdullah, and Lobb. And I think that's what they end up sticking with. Personally, I've never seen anything out of Abdullah, and that has made me excited. So I understand he'll make the roster is like in any RB on a 53 sort of idea, but I'm not even sure he makes like my fantasy team, even though he makes an NFL 53 man roster. Like he's one of those like last guys that like, okay, I have nobody else that I can put in this roster spot. I guess I'll get Amir Abdullah. And then Brown and McCormick they've never done anything that has interested me either. And I think they're probably the odd men out in this running back room.
Yep, I agree with that. On to the wide receivers now. So Davante Adams still there. PFF grade last year is 79.1, which was 21st of 128. Jacoby Myers, his PFF grade was 69.9, 52nd of 128. Right now, Trey Tucker is listed as the third man in the slot. His PFF grade is 65.2, 70th, 128. Had a pretty, couple of decent touchdown games there with Aiden O'Connell towards the end of the season. Michael Gallup, who they picked up from the Cowboys last month or so, PFF grade 63.4, 74th to 128. Kind of interested to see if they go with Adams and Gallup on the outside and Myers in the slot. So we'll see what they can do there. Jalen Guyton is still there. Who they brought back, DJ Turner, Christian Wilkerson, Ramel Caton, a 2024 UDFA out of Tennessee, Tulu Griffin, a UDFA out of Mississippi State, Jeff Foreman, a UDFA out of Arkansas State, Tyreek McAllister, and Alec Bachman are still there as well. So they kept six on their initial 53 last year. I think that's probably what it's going to be again this year, maybe five if they have a spot where they need to keep an extra guy. But Adams, Myers, Trey Tucker, I think those guys are locks. Gallup should be a lock at as a fourth guy. Jalen Guyton, as long as he's healthy, I think he makes it. That'll probably be the fifth guy. And then, honestly, the sixth spot would be wide open between DJ Turner, Christian Wilkerson, who I've liked a little bit in the past, or one of these UDFAs possibly. So I could see that. What do you got on the wide receivers, Koopa?
Yeah, so Davante Adams, obviously he's wide receiver 13. I think that he's going to be a solid guy for you, even though his age is definitely getting up there. Jacoby Myers is also one of those wide receivers that is getting older, but he's sneakily been a top 24 wide receiver when the season hit the end, like a couple years in a row. And so he's definitely somebody that I would target as like a, hey, he's a really cheap guy that could consistently be in your flex spot or even like a wide receiver 3 spot for you. Trey Tucker, so many people are trying to like make him a thing, and I just don't think that he is. And Michael Gallup, I really like him coming from Dallas. Like, I think that he's a great guy for this team. And I just don't necessarily know outside of that, like, okay, you've got Jalen Guyton. I never was impressed with him in the Chargers system, and so I could see him potentially getting beat out by one of these other guys. I would watch out for Tulu Griffin. I've talked to him. I don't know whether he goes by Tulu, whether he goes by Ladietrick. But he was a really good kick returner for Mississippi State. And he was on my list of guys that, hey, if a team needs a kick returner, this is a guy that could potentially do it and do it quite well. Trey Tucker has been doing that for the Raiders this past season, where we see a lot of teams that potentially want to have two kick returners for this coming season. Potentially, he ends up making the team as a kick return option. If he's good enough at the NFL level.
All right, let's move on now to the tight end position. So obviously their shocking first round pick was Brock Bowers. They took him at, I believe, 13th overall. Michael Mayer, who they drafted last year in the second round, his PFF grade last year was only 58.3, 40th of 72. Disappointing year from him. They signed Harrison Bryant from the Browns this offseason. Zach Gentry, Cole Fotheringham, and John Samuel Schneckner is their other guy that they have. They've kept three. I think it's probably going to be the same again this year. Bowers, Mayer, and Harrison Bryant. Some quick looks here at Brock Bowers. Overall, Bowers is an explosive pass catcher who creates the mismatches all over the field with speed, ball skills, and competitive edge. He has NFL star potential in the mold of George Kittle if he lands with a play caller prepared to feature his unique and versatile talents. He had an 84.4 PFF grade last year, 56 catches, 71 targets, 717 yards, 6 touchdowns, 312 pass snaps, 121 were in line, 148 out wide. His receiving grade was 87.1. He had 3 drops, 8.7 yak at the tight end spot, which is tied for 7th, and 6.5 was his A dot, which was tied for 114th. He had 3 deep catches for 98 yards. So what are your thoughts here on the Raiders tight end situation?
I think that realistically, you're looking at Brock Bowers, because he was drafted to this team, kind of hurts both him and Michael Mayer, the fact that they're both on the same team. I would like to think that Bowers potentially ends up taking, because like, I didn't see a great wide receiver 3 on this roster where I'm like, hey, for sure that guy is going to be the primary slot guy. So maybe Bowers is a little bit more of a slot tight end and Mayer's a more inline tight end, and they run a lot of two tight end sets. I could see something like that being how they run this team, or even just like having two inline tight ends. You have seven people in the line, two wide receivers out wide, like, and you do something off of that. But I'm just not confident that either of them is going to be what you want from fantasy in a tight end. Everyone wants Bowers to just be absolutely dominant. I cannot see it necessarily unless he is lined up in that slot a bunch, and then he's getting the passes caught over the middle, that sort of thing. So it's a little sketchy for me, in terms of do I want to invest in either of these guys? And you can see that with projections that like Brock Bowers is tight end 12, Michael Mayer is tight end 26. So even experts are like, I don't really know exactly what to do with these guys. Like, if Bowers went to an ideal tight end landing spot, like I could see him being up there, tight end 6, tight end 7. But the fact that he's down there at 12 is just simply they don't know exactly what to see about this situation. And that's kind of the thing. Anytime you see somebody drafted to a team that's like, that doesn't quite make sense. We don't know what the Raiders' plans are for him. Obviously, they have a plan. The question is that good for fantasy or not? We'll have to find that out when the season comes.
Yeah, I think for redraft leagues especially, like Bowers is definitely a guy that I'll take a shot on because you're probably gonna get him at the tight end 12 prices, but he could if he explodes and has a Sam Laporta type season, like you got him at tight end 12 prices. And if it doesn't work out and he is like around tight end 12, like there's somebody on waivers I can probably pick up who's just as good, or I can platoon or whatever. So I don't, I like taking the shot on Brock Bowers, especially in like a redraft setting. Looks like a look at their offensive line. So they were 10th last year, which was pretty good for them. You kind of just look at the names on this list, and there's nobody that really stands out. So the way that they were able to get a 10th place finish out of this offensive line is really good. Their best player last year was their left tackle, Colton Miller. Miller was the third highest graded offensive tackle in the NFL over the first 8 weeks of the season, before he had some injuries that kind of ruined his season there at the end. His PFF grade last year ended up being 80.2, which is 11th of 81 tackles. They also brought in Andris Peat this offseason from the Saints. His PFF grade was a 60.2, 56th of 81 as their backup. Left guard, current starter, is their second round pick, Jackson Powers Johnson. Some highlights on him. Overall, Powers Johnson inexperience is reflected in his technique, but he offers a fantastic combination of size, athleticism, and toughness with a skill set that translate to both center and guard. His game reminds me of Ryan Kelly, who won the Remington Award at Alabama before becoming a first round pick in 2016. Powers Johnson was one of the highlights at the Senior Bowl this year, so I'm kind of surprised he didn't go in the first. He fell to the second round there, but I think this is a really, really good pickup for the Raiders. His backup is Cody Whitehair. Center is Andre James. His PFF grade last year was 74.6, ninth of 36. So have pa Powers Johnson, Colton Miller, Andre James on that left side is really, really nice. Ben Brown is his backup. The right guard is Dylan Parham, a 2022 third round pick. His PFF grade last year was 60.4, which is 36th of 79 among guards. So right in the middle, not too bad. Hopefully he can get a little bit better this year. Jordan Meredith is his backup. Thayer Munford Jr. is the starter at right tackle right now, a 2022 seventh round pick. And for a seventh round pick, man, they got a really good season out of him. PFF grade of 74.1, 25th among 81 eligible tackles last year. So really, really good. Their backup, they drafted DJ Glaze in the third round this year. Highlights on Glaze. Overall, Glaze over aggressive tendencies and lack of explosive traits show on an island, but with his size, strength, and smooth movements, a move to guard could be what is best for his NFL future. With continued development, he will compete for starting snaps. So this is a guy that's a little bit versatile. He could probably play guard or tackle for them, so we'll see what happens. But right now, he's listed as the backup right tackle. Kick returners and punt returners, go ahead with those.
Yeah, so we had a last season. Unfortunately, no longer on the team. DeAndre Carter was the guy that returned all of the kickoffs. Trey Tucker is somebody that had a bunch of experience in college doing both kick returns and punt returns. So he's essentially has the leg up. But I mentioned earlier, LaDietrick or Tulu Griffin. He's somebody that also did a bunch of kick returning in college, was quite good at it. So I would see potentially see them taking over the those roles unless somebody else shows some experience on this team. But realistically, I think if I had to lean anywhere, I would lead Trey Tucker. And my only concern is in my head, I usually end up putting saying, "Oh, you want the younger guys as the kicker and punt returners because that's how you can justify the roster spot that they're taking." But the fact that Carter was the one that had those roles last year, like it just makes me question, like, is he really as good as we think he is at the NFL level? So it's just. That's the only thing that's giving me a little bit of hesitancy. But that's where I would lean right now is that Trey Tucker is somebody that you might want to invest a little bit into if you have those kick return or punt return points to, hey, he might have a role as the wide receiver three on this team and he has the kick return and punt return jobs. That might be a decent floor for you, especially in like a flex spot or something.
All right, so our final thoughts here on the Raiders. I think quarterback position is kind of going to be up in the air all year. Like I said earlier, I think both of them end up starting games at some point this year. Running back, I mean, Zamir White, I mean, America's Game comes out tomorrow when you're listening to this. And we kind of looked at Zamir White. He's like RB19, and the guys that are below him are crazy. Like Najee Harris is below him, Ramondre Stevenson's below him, Alvin Kamara. There's a couple other guys, but some of these guys that just shouldn't be below him. So I think people are a little excited about Zamir White. Like, I like the talent. I liked him coming out of college, so I'm not like afraid to have him. But if he's like this highly valued, especially like with keep trade cut stuff, that's a guy I'd be willing to sell right now. If I can get like a second and a third round pick for him, I would go ahead and do that. But as far as the season goes, we'll see what happens. They have a good offensive line, so I could see him having a good year. But I think Madison will have a role. It's not going to be a complete zero, but Madison will play a little bit there. I think Lobb's going to come in on passing downs too, and he's going to make his mark as well. And then wide receivers, it's Davante Adams and Jakobi Meyers. I think you'll get a little bit of Gallup and Trey Tucker, but not a whole lot. But it's going to be another season dominated by Adams and Jakobi Meyers. Tight ends are going to be very fascinating. Brock Bowers is an elite tight end. Hopefully they use him the right way, but I think there's a little bit of a discount on him right now. So it might be a good time to get a little bit of him. Michael Mayer, I just don't know what to expect of him is with Bowers being there now. Are they gonna run a lot of two tight end personnels? Are they gonna leave Mayer in and then, put Bowers on the outside? I think there's a lot of that could work too. So if I, I'm not drafting Mayer in a redraft league this year, that's for sure. But Bowers, I'm definitely interested in. What about you for the Raiders?
Yeah, I think realistically, Adams and Myers, I know I want. Zamir White, it just has the opportunity, so I guess I want him. But like you said, the you've got behind him like the Najee Harrises, the Ramondre Stevenson, like even going as far down as like Zach Moss or somebody like that, like that's somebody that I personally am almost interested in just out of like a. Hey, I could see the ceiling of Zach Moss being higher, or the ceiling of Zamir White is higher, but I could see the floor of Zach Moss being higher. It just because Zamir White, like it, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like across an entire season as the number one back. Alexander Mattison is right behind him, and I feel like Alexander Mattison is that perfect example of like somebody that every time we saw him when Dalvin Cook was injured, like he had monster games, and you were like, all right, I'm confident in this guy when he's coming in to be the number one running back over the course of a season, and then he just he shit the bed, and he did not do well at all. And so I'm curious to see what happens with Zamir White when he's getting a similar opportunity this year. And the quarterbacks, they're essentially a mess. I personally am a little bit more into Aiden O'Connell than I think most people are. And then the tight ends are also a mess, but there is that Bowers upside. But you're essentially investing in a lot of I'm unsures with a lot of these players. Whereas the only ones that are safe that I feel like you can pretty reliably say, I know what these guys are going to be are Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers.
All right. Well, that is going to be it for the Raiders preview on this one, guys. We will see you next with the Los Angeles Chargers preview.